Please join me in the spirit of meditation or prayer. See a blossom in your mind's eye. Allow it to fill the interior of your imagination. Greater perfection of form and nature cannot be imagined. With inward gaze, absorb each wondrous fluted petal. Slide down its humid surface until you drop as the dew into its velvety core. Immerse your senses in this safe chamber. Such fragile beauty gives impulse to weep. Now, slowly reverse the journey as you ascend the shaft towards wider light. Turn your imagination around and around to see its many facets. Stored within is the memory of all flowers. Marvel that this creation, while utterly fragile, yet undaunted, boldly buds forth, turning resolutely toward the sun. We too shimmer with expectation, exuding our own illumination, color, pulse, and scent. Vulnerable, still we venture our lives courageously toward hope and light, at once fragile and rooted. Amen, and blessed be. Tell me a story, Mommy. I know I said this many times as a child, usually just before bedtime, and I bet at least some of you did as well. As children, we're like Harold, and we instinctively know the power of stories to shape our world and our reality. As we grow up, though, and become adults, somewhere along the way, we tend to lose that belief in the power of story to call new realities into being. So, today, let's talk about story and narrative and the way that story could be a creative force, helping to shape our reality and our world. We are a people of narrative. We long to tell and hear stories. I drive over an hour to get here from my home in DuPage County, and I listen to audiobooks on the way. The spoken books make the journey not just bearable, but fun, as I can be in another world at the same time I'm in this one, like Harry Potter's family's house on Privet Drive, and racing on the construction-cluttered drag strip that is I-90. In Harry Potter's Uncle Vernon's and Aunt Petunia's house, imagination is simply not allowed. They want the story of their lives to conform to a certain muggle, bourgeois standard they see as the pinnacle of success. The story, though, of Harry's magical life with his parents before coming to live with the Dursleys, that's suppressed and taboo and never to be spoken of to Harry. Harry's parents, for those of you who don't know the story, were a wizard and a muggle-born woman, meaning a non-magical woman. And they were killed by an evil sorcerer who tried to kill Harry too, but he survived. Harry was born with great magical talent that the Dursleys simply could not abide. And as such, they raised him without any true knowledge of his parents and his heritage. But the Dursleys knew very well the power of story to shape and change people, and that changes in one person's story affects other people around them. They want to cut themselves off and Harry from Aunt Petunia's historical family story of wizardry, and to disconnect from that narrative and bury it. But stories have a magical way of returning from the grave. We do indeed arise from our family stories. Immigrants, patriots, war heroes, martyrs for various causes, survivors of disasters. These stories of martyrdom and survival, immigration and wartime exploits, they're like crayons of different colors that we receive as we grow up hearing them. I know that the one story that shaped my upbringing was the story of my father losing both parents during the time he served in World War II as a sergeant in the Army Air Corps. He was not given leave to come home to their services. When he finally made it home, he discovered that the business that he had so carefully grown and nurtured, a chemist lab, which he had left in the hands of his father and a friend, was a ghostly shadow of the thriving enterprise it had been when he went to war. My father, facing the loss of his parents and his business, had to start all over again from the bones that remained. This story became an important family story about resilience and strength in the face of grief and loss, an undergirding narrative for all of my immediate family stories. Sometimes those crayons that we receive and the ways in which we use them can get us into trouble, as Harold does when he created the dragon that scares him right into creating an ocean with his shaking drawing hand. But he uses his imagination to call a new story into being. And he shifts the narrative with his crayon, and he turns a scary situation into a grand adventure. My family and I have learned how to use the crayons we received, along with our imaginations, to find new ways of understanding and navigating grief and loss. Ways other than staying mired in sticky tar pits of anger and sadness. I wasn't satisfied with our family standard, a stoic, rigid adherence to the accepted story. Like Harry and Harold, I wished for a different life. And in dreaming and drawing the shape of my ministry, I have created a new story, a healing story. Stories possess the power to create and to destroy. Creation stories are some of the first we learn as children from various cultures and viewpoints. An old favorite that I remember reading about in school is Thought Woman of the Pueblo peoples, as rendered in a poem that opens Leslie Marmon Silko's book, Ceremony. Some of you may be familiar with it. Thought Woman literally thinks the world into being, spinning out a creation narrative that is still held sacred by Pueblo peoples. Sitting in her room, Thought Woman is lonely. And so she thinks of her sisters, and they appear. And together, they create the universe, the reality we live in, and the four worlds for the Pueblo people that lie beneath the earth where the ancestors reside. Thought Woman's mode of creating through her thoughts and her prophetic voice is a concept that resonated with me as I thought about this sermon. As you use, we deeply value the power of prophetic voice and the power of the intellect to create and destroy through words and deeds. As you use, we tend to draw upon stories from many sources. It's in our principles and in our language. Even the language we use for the websites we consult for resources within our faith tradition reflect our relationship with the intertwinings of narrative, worship web, tapestry of faith. We are weavers of stories. We uplift narratives of social justice through the power of love, from marriage equality, immigrant rights, racial justice, and reproductive rights. And we destroy, or we attempt to destroy, narratives of hate and oppression. We work to dismantle white supremacy and binary systems of gender. We do have the power to shift the narratives of our larger communities, of our country, for stories are never static. Even when we find ourselves, as Harold did in our story, ready to fall metaphorically off a cliff. Meaning making is an iterative process, over and over, ever ongoing. The crayon never stops moving. We tell the world that we are standing on the side of love. And in so doing, we write a part of the narrative of justice in our country for so many things. Stories are, after all, generative. They call things into being. They shape and form reality. Stories help us get to the truth of things, to find the medicine, as Estes, Clarissa Pinkola Estes, said in our reading. In the excerpt that I read to you, she introduced the concept of la invitada, the guest who occupies the empty chair. The soul of the listener comes to the chair and sits, for it has a need, and the need speaks to the needs of everyone present. Consider the spilled blood that every story needs to carry the medicine forward, to be of use the next time one revisits the story for themselves or someone else. It is so important, she goes on to say, that it is the only work, to find our stories and to discern how to use them as medicine for our souls. I would add to her thoughts that not only is this the only work for us as individuals, for our own lives, but also for our movement. Our work as a faith is to discern the roads not yet taken, the narratives not yet written, and to use our resources to create and lift up stories that make the world more just, loving, compassionate. Like the Selma March anniversary action last year, or protesting voting rights on the steps of the Supreme Court. We were there, UUs were there to help write those stories. And we tell these stories as only we can tell them, to engage people who may have to this point refused to listen. To do this, though, we have to be willing to spill some of our own blood, scrape some of our own flesh from our knuckles to bring these narratives alive. In the Christian scriptures, specifically Gospel of John 1:14, we are told that the Word, the Logos, became flesh and walked among us, and that the transcendent Spirit became tangible, imminent in our midst. Perhaps in this spiritual metaphor, we can find some relevance to our current state of affairs. As in Este's work and in these lines of gospel, in our holy work of creating new stories to live by, we are asked to embody our words, to infuse our stories, not just with our intellects, but with our souls too. I have one more story to share with you from Christmas time a few years ago. I was with my sister at the Chris Kindle Market in downtown Chicago, which, if you haven't been there, it's a recreation of a European Christmas village, laden with dwellings like right out of a fairy tale, where even the most fantastic looking things are available for sale, from glittering ornaments, old world blown glass, to intricate sweets and confections. There was a puppeteer on the edge of the market, out on the corner, with a traveling puppet stage show. And the story, or the promise of the story, was powerful enough to draw a big crowd away from the market activities. The story was between two puppets, both fuzzy bears, who kind of looked and acted like brothers. The story that they acted out was about greed and desire and the gift of learning to share with each other. It was staged in this slapstick comedy style, sort of like the Three Stooges with bears, with pratfalls and great silliness, and appeals to the audience from each brother for support. The irony that it was the Christmas holiday season and we were at the market with all its myriad costly wares, which was stationed across the street from a shopping mall, was not lost on me. The entire setup of this puppeteer must have cost less than it cost me to park that day. And his story was as entertaining and reflective of the season as the old world European Christmas fantasy that the market was selling at an exponentially higher price. His gift was a gift of spiritual sustenance, more filling than the goulash and schnitzel in the market. I don't know why the puppeteer chose that corner that day and why that particular story, but sometimes we find wisdom in unexpected places, like street corner performances. Perhaps it was my soul that day that was the guest. The winter holiday season is usually difficult for me, both around family ties and commercialism. And I was feeling particularly grinchy that year. I was having trouble finding joy in any holiday celebrations. And I needed to hear the story the puppeteer and his bears were telling. It reminded me that, yes, Michelle, there is more love and joy somewhere, rooted in art and spontaneity and puppets, and being present in the present and not the past. So today, ask someone to tell you a story and really listen, or tell your own story to someone else. Claim your power to write new stories for yourself and for our movement, as carrying the medicine of our stories forward is the essence of our work. Remember the power inherent in stories when you are feeling powerless. Remember the power of the act of storytelling and in the words we wield. The pen or the crayon or our collective voice really is mightier than the sword, as the narratives we create live on long after we are gone from this place. Embrace the creativity within you. Reconnect with the power of spontaneous creative play and call into being the world and the self you wish to see. May it be so, and may we be the ones to make it so. Let's sing together. Number 313, Oh What a Piece of Work We Are. Friends, we receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, and brief moments of insight. Let's gather them up for the precious gifts they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. Now please join me in singing our benediction.